Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. An issue I've a fear I may have addressed before. Should the United Kingdom withdraw from the European Convention on Human Rights? Of course, any sovereign state is entitled to withdraw from any treaty at any time. Well, the European Convention on Human Rights was drawn up after the Second World War and signed, ratified 1950 by the United Kingdom and many other member states. The UK was one of the first ones that was involved in it, and it was obviously a reaction to the horrors of the Second World War. But, you know, totalitarian states such as the Soviet Union signed up to it. This was when Stalin was still there, one of the most prolific mass murderers of all time, someone who was surpassed only by Hitler in his rampant sadism. They had frank slavery in the Soviet Union at the time, so people sent to slave labor camps where they often died as a result, often sent there on a racist basis, because of their ethnicity, and so on. So, you know, it's been more honoured in the breach and observance. But it, obviously, the noble aims, the right to life and the right to family life. But the thing is, common law countries have got permissive liberty. We're allowed to do anything unless it's specifically prohibited. Obviously, for Roman law countries, the opposite way around, that you have to expressly be granted rights. And the right to free expression and so forth, the right to form a trade union to strike, and the right to reasonable remuneration for your labor. What is that? That's not justiciable. And to sufficient time for leisure and recreation and repose and so forth without specifying what that is. And then the trouble is that then judges start to make policy. How many hours you can work and how much rest you're alive, you're allowed and so on. Okay. So the judiciary doesn't want to stray into the legislative sphere, but increasingly it is. They often talk about activist judges. So judicial activism is in the judges are actuated by their desire to implement an ideology. Perhaps these rulings are in furtherance of an ideology. Now, the judges can say, nothing to do with us. We simply have to interpret the statutes which are drawn up by the politicians. But even the United Kingdom, there was the rape marital exception case in 1994, where it was held that English law said that a man couldn't be guilty of rape against his own wife, because once she wed him, she'd irrevocably consented to intercourse, and no revocation of that could be valid. And so the House of Lords judges overturned that, said, no, it is illegal. So there they were legislating, saying it was unthinkable that the House of Commons were trying to change that, and indeed it hasn't. Okay, so there's some good things in there, prohibition of torture or whatever, right to property. Now, of course, communists wouldn't like that one, but the right to life did not preclude the death penalty. And most of the signatory states had the death penalty at the beginning. You know, France even had it to 1981. The United Kingdom didn't use it since 1964, but only finally abolished it in 1998. Even then, this allows for bringing it back if there's a crisis so grave it threatens the life of the nation. Like, you know, if out of the 70 million people, hundreds of thousands of people being killed in a terrorist campaign or something like the Second World War, that really the life of the nation was at risk. Not something like the war in Iraq, the UK could withdraw from without the UK itself facing annihilation. So the UK signed it long before, but it didn't become part of domestic British law until 2000. The Human Rights Act 1998 affected the transposition of it into domestic law, as some people asserting their convention rights, as in rights arising from the European Convention on Human Rights, could have cases heard in the United Kingdom. They could be referred to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. So is the Council of Europe came up with this. The Council of Europe was all European countries until very recently, from Iceland to Azerbaijan. Now, Belarus was never allowed into it because its human rights record was so lamentable, even in the early 90s, shortly after the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the Russian Federation was in it. And the Russian Federation has lost more cases than anywhere else and simply disregards the ruling, doesn't enact them. Well, they're told to release this person from prison, to grant somebody a retrial, to pay someone compensation. They just don't do it. Largely Turkey and Azerbaijan as well. And Azerbaijan, which has got this daft cult of the personality, where elections are blatantly rigged. The result of the election was even texted to everyone the day before it happened. Whoops-a-daisy. And then the regime said, oh, sorry, we're accidentally re-announcing the elections from 5 years ago, the results. Well, you weren't, because the candidates' names weren't the same as 5 years ago. They decided the result in advance. They decided what percentage they were going to declare for each candidate before any ballots had even been cast. It was that risible. But this is the kind of country that signed up to it. So clearly it doesn't work. Now, no army is perfect. And you know, every army will have some psychos, and war can bring out the worst of people who commit war crimes. And I don't mean killing an enemy combatant legitimately. I mean killing civilians on purpose, knowing them to be civilians. And it's not collateral damage. It's not a byproduct of a legitimate military attack. No, killing civilians when you're aware they're not any threat to you at all out of, you know, sheer racism, sadism, whatever. And there was a lot of that going on in Algeria committed by the French army. Not being francophobe, not saying that all French people are guilty. Okay, the Irish army committed some crimes against our own people in the Civil War, 1922-23. The British army's committed war crimes. They all have. That's not making it saying it's good, it's bad. Definitely bad. Got to try and stop it. Got to punish it when it happens. But this was on really on a gross scale with virtual impunity there. And so the ECHR didn't have that. Remember, Algeria, according to French law, was part of the domestic French state, not a colony. So you see how worthless it is. Oh, and then Lord Hermer, who was a Labour cabinet minister, a legal eagle, crony of Sakir, and he says, oh, we'll be keeping bad company like Azerbaijan and Russia. Russia and Belarus. We keep bad company with Azerbaijan and Turkey as well. It didn't stop the mass slaughter of Kurdish civilians by the Turkish army in the 1980s. And I'm remotely Turkophobic. The Turks I really, really like. I've been there a dozen times. I'm happy to go there again and so on. I'm not saying that most Turkish soldiers were guilty of that. So it really is preposterous to say that we're keeping bad company. Okay, Australia signed up to it, got a superb human rights record, or where else can I say is signed up to it, which might have a really good human rights record. And not say like Taiwan, for instance, highly developed countries are signed up to it. So it's ridiculous to say that the UK would descend into tyranny and genocide if it weren't signed up to this. And then all these tyrannical states like Azerbaijan has a judge on the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. A common misconception, the European Convention of Human Rights, it's true that all EU member states have to domesticate it, but it wasn't drawn up by the European Economic Community originally, which is obviously the precursor of the European Union. And some countries are in the Council of Europe and therefore signed up the European Convention of Human Rights, which are not in the European Union, have never been in it, okay, like Turkey and Azerbaijan, for instance. So it is ludicrous to say that that will lead to tyranny. And it's mentioned in the preamble to the Good Friday Agreement, but it's not legally binding to stay in it. Even His Britannic Majesty's government acknowledges that. So why withdraw from it? Because then could amend certain laws. It's virtually impossible to deport people who come to the United Kingdom illegally and have their claims for asylum rejected as groundless. And there'll be appeal after appeal after appeal. Because on the basis of whatever acts arriving from this convention. So it allowed the United Kingdom to take swifter and firmer action to keep people safer. And the UK would therefore sort of be judicially independent. Decisions couldn't be overruled by the European Court of Human Rights. And by the way, if a ruling goes against you in the ECHR, you can simply disregard it. Is that illegal? Okay, but no, consequences flow. And the UK has scrupulously abided by its obligations. Most member states haven't. When the Special Air Service shot dead three terrorists in Gibraltar, who were about to set off a bomb, killing possibly dozens of civilians, then they told that these terrorists were deprived of their right to life. Well, the right to life is obviously conventional, not being a condition, not being a threat to others. But there we go. I mean, better to arrest them if possible, but they didn't think it was possible. May have turned out they're mistaken, but that was an honest belief at the time. So you see how the ECHR is so often, it works for the evil people against the good people. And it really would be heartwarming to see all these lefty lovies then seeking asylum in Azerbaijan, for example, which has obviously got a far better human rights situation. And of course, I'm not anti-Azerbaijani. I work there. There's some really good Azerbaijanis, of course. But I do feel sorry for them because they're under that pernicious Aliyev dictatorship. So a lot of these specious arguments are advanced. So have no truck with them. Even Jack Straw has advocated withdrawal from it. Remember, Jack Straw was a Labour Home Secretary when this was agreed to way back in 1998. Right. Anyway, thanks so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.